The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Swung on and into the air. The deep right center. It is high. Middle star. It is gone. It's a grand slam. It's an A-bomb from A-Rod. A grand slam. And that lifts the Yankees to a 4.
The call yesterday is a Yankee great. You've got to call him a great. He is a great. He's one of the greatest ever. Alex Rodriguez blasting the game-winning Grand Slam home run yesterday. His 25th Grand Slam. That is the most of any player ever in the history. What is it? 120-year history of Major League Baseball? 140. Amazing 25th Grand Slam. The most of any player ever in Major League history. The fact that he's also hit 25 home runs this season, the season he turned 40 years old, and he's coming off that year-long suspension and all of the microscopic attention, and the fact he's playing drug-free, we assume he is, because they must be watching every drop of urine out of the man's body. I mean, how could they not?
Well, who's doing it? I keep asking this question. Maybe Crash knows this. Who does he pee into a cup once in a while? How does it work? Does he pee into a cup? Who's really watching?
How do you know that A-Rod is drug-free? Well, don't they test him on a regular basis?
The union protects
him.
Come on.
He would
it
never.
Does, though.
I'm assuming.
He'd never. How many times has he done in the past?
The hell is paved with assumptions, but I'm assuming that he's smart enough after everything he's been through, and I'm applauding this. And I condemn your cynicism.
Yeah, well, you applaud that juice. Go ahead.
Your cynicism because I believe that A-Rod has completed one of the most remarkable turnarounds in the history of professional sport. And this accomplishment cannot be naysayed in any way. He has come back and he's helping. Should he be in the Hall of Fame? It's another discussion. I think that all these guys should be in the Hall of Fame eventually, and you put an asterisk by them. You put a note that says, you know, they had this period during their career when their performance was shaded by this or that, just as I'm sure Tom Brady will for the other, for the whole Deflategate. But I think that you have to recognize, even if a guy's on the juice, that doesn't make his bat hit the ball. It may make the ball go 5 feet further. But regardless, I don't want to get into a big thing. I am merely applauding what I see as a remarkable turnaround. There are second acts in life. So if you get mired down in this or that, don't think you can't start over. I think there's always another way you can come back. Don't get down on yourself. Use A-Rod, despite Noam Layden's epidemic cynicism and skepticism.
I don't know if that's epidemic. I think it's just being honest.
I'll get out of here. Speaking of birthdays, I talked about A-Rod's being 40 years old this year. Today is former President Bill Clinton's 69th birthday. So give me a little presidential music there, Crash. Bill Clinton, 69 years old, same age as former President. Happy birthday to you, Bill Clinton, same age as George W. Bush. And the same age, interestingly, enough with the birthday, as Donald Trump. Donald Trump is also 69. So you got George W. Bush, Donald Trump, and Bill Clinton, all 69 years old. Hillary Clinton will be 68 years old in October. Isn't it interesting, Noam Layden, that Hillary's age is constantly being mentioned as an issue? She'll be the oldest since Ronald Reagan. And, you know, constantly, every time you see her, someone is talking about how old she is, how old she looks. Nobody ever makes an issue of Donald Trump, who is a year older than Hillary Clinton. Why is it that the ladies are getting roughed up and the guys
are don't? You implying that maybe there's sexism here?
Please, I'm not implying. I am stating explicitly.
Do you think that maybe just his big personality sort of trumps his age, you know, makes him look younger?
I don't think it's that at all. I think that it is that women really are judged by their age. Men, I mean, and I've seen it in my own life. Obviously, the women get traded in. They get, age really tells. Remember when I got in all that trouble? I was for a brief time there on Fox News on the night. I was going to say the program was overturned. It's not overturned. Outnumbered, the noon show, right, where one guy sits with four women. And my career there ended, essentially. I mean, I walked away from the show, and show many ways walked away from me when I said they were talking about trial marriages. And they were talking about how, isn't this a brave new world? Now you can hook up and live as if you were married, and then you have a contract by a time certain. The man or the woman has to declare, okay, now let's make this official. Now we'll get the state involved, have a civic or church or, synagogue wedding, whatever it is, religious or secular wedding. And I said, this is stupid, women, because your age, your youth is your most tremendous resource, and it is a diminishing resource, and at a time you're going to use it up. Why give it away in a trial marriage? The guy gets all the benefit, and you get none of it. You're going to start at 22. You're going to be 30 at the end of it. Now you'd be 30 years old. You'd be looking for a husband. He's 30 years old. He can go back to the 22-year-old. And I made the distinction of how differently women and age are treated by our society generally than men and age. Men get wiser. Men are seen as sages. Oh, he's experienced. He's battle-hardened. He's a veteran. When you say a woman is a veteran broadcaster, for instance, what people are really saying is, oh, yeah, she's been around forever, that one. You know, there really is a big difference. And I think that that is one of the things that Hillary Clinton is battling. That and all of the, the constant attacks are wearing her down. Now, I'll talk about it, and I want to talk about it as the show progresses at 866 Geraldo. I think that, in my opinion, there is probably no there when it comes to Hillary's email gate. I really don't think that she'd be stupid enough, because she's not stupid, whatever she is, whatever age she is, whatever, however she looks, however pleasant or unpleasant you think her public presentation. I think that that is really problematic. But I really think that this is a lot like Benghazi gate. With the fake story about the stand down order that never happened and all the rest of that. I think Emailgate, like Fast and Furious was with Eric Holder and all the rest, I think that it's not a fake scandal. It's a political scandal. She did this. Other secretaries of state have done emails on a private server. She's not exclusive. She's the only one who did it only exclusively on the private email. But I don't think there's any there. But again, it's being wearing at her. It's just, it hits her again and again and again and again. Email and email gate and email gate. And you put that with Benghazi gate, and you put that with all of these other things that have happened. And even though there's no substance to any of them, the constant droning has worn her down. And now when you see her, did you see her yesterday?
I did.
She's going head to head with Ed Henry, a Fox News fine correspondent. When she responds, it's so unfair. Like, a man can aggressively react to an issue the way Trump does, almost shrinking the interrogator down to midget size. When Hillary does it, it's like everybody wants to jump on, because she is so, there's just, charisma is a funny thing. Like, her husband has it and she doesn't have it. I'm sorry, I hate to say that. But, I mean, the response to her, and the more you hear from her, the less you'll hear. Here she is yesterday.
I did not send classified material, and I did not receive any material that was marked or designated classified, which is the way you know whether something is. What you're seeing now is a disagreement between agencies saying, you know what, they should have, and the other saying, no, they shouldn't. That has nothing to do with me. My personal emails are my personal business.
All right, so that was Hillary. Substantively, if you read what she said, a vigorous and effective defense. But when you hear it, I mean, is it just me? I don't know. You have to tell me what, Crash? All right, go ahead. Play it.
Did you wipe the service?
What, like with a cloth or something?
All right, did you wipe your emails, Ed Henry asks. He says, like what, with a cloth or something?
Right.
You know, like if it was Trump tells the same joke, you get a laugh out of it. Hillary tells the joke and you say, well, what has she got to hide? Uh-oh, what's in this?
Well,
this is something. It's not only rehearsed, it seems unnatural.
Right. Well, like last week she talked about Snapchat. She doesn't know what Snapchat is. And so the minute she said it, I was like, come on. You know, someone wrote that for her.
All right, Stephen Loyland, what's up? Thanks for going to 864. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Robert, what's going on? Good morning.
Thank you.
I wanted to share with you something. Many years ago, I was talking to my grandmother. She was in her upper 90s. And she was staring out the window, and I made an offhand comment. I said, penny for your thoughts. So she was a public school teacher for many years in New York City, and this is what she told me. She said, when I was younger, everyone would think, oh, I'm a school teacher, I'm wise. They would come to me for advice, other women in the neighborhood. She said, I didn't really know anything back then. But now, she said, I'm thinking, I'm an older woman. I pretty much have lived life. I know everything. Now people look at me and they say, she's an old lady. What does she know?
And so I totally get that, Steve. I totally get that. And give me your editorial comment about your grandma.
Well, I don't know much because she's much older than me. But I do know that she taught in public school for very many years. And she said it was the most, financially, it wasn't the greatest job, but it was certainly the most fulfilling life that she could have hoped for.
Is she still around, your grandma? I didn't get that part.
No, not at all.
Too bad. All right. Well, anyway, thanks. And thanks to your family. And Steve, thanks for calling. Excellent call. So I also want to talk about today. I want very much to stay focused on this whole, why is Hillary at 68 being treated like Grandma Moses when, the grandpas, Trump and Clinton and George W. Bush get treated so differently. They're a year older than she is. So why is that? But also in terms of equality, you know that women are getting even in another way. They're getting their own Viagra. So we're going to talk about how, up until now, sexual dysfunction in men, for instance, always treated as a biological, physical disorder. But in women, always treated as psychological. So a guy gets a Viagra, gives him a boner. A woman has to go to a shrink because there's something wrong. Why doesn't she have any sexual libido? So we talk about how women are getting even in terms of the female Viagra, and we'll talk about why Hillary is treated so differently because of her age. We have our eyes on the Jared Fogle story, how sad. The subway pitch man pleading guilty to these horrible sex acts. I don't know how horrible. I haven't really examined it. I'm going to have Noam's definitely going to check it out and probe it more deeply when he does finally surrender. Also, again, that heads up later in the program, the FDA approving this drug for low libido in women. What are the consequences? Now there's going to be a whole new surge of horniness. Is that all right?
Let's hope so. Jeez. We could all use that, us guys.
I don't know. Grandpa, what's up? What are you doing?
Hey,
what are you thinking
about? Geraldo, listen. I used to stay down in Florida in a community, okay? The youngest person I met down there was 59 years old. Every one of them women down there, they're all looking for, some loving.
So looking for hooking up.
The pool, it was like sharks. they came after you. I don't know where the hell they got their information. Maybe there are some women that lose their interest because they had 9 or 10 kids and, the rigors of their body. But believe me, it's unbelievable. It's like, to me, when I go to, I used to go in a restaurant, and then one day the waitress came over, and she had a menu in her hand, and she said, soup or super sex on the thing. I said, I'll take the soup. Because
what was the community?
I don't know.
The fountains. What do they call that place?
What is that place
it's
called?
It's in Delray Beach. It's Mato Nami.
Okay, don't worry. Maybe they had this female Viagra in the water. What was it?
Leisure World. That's one of the big ones. Leisure World. Yeah.
Do you know that the villages?
The villages. That's the one. The villages.
Gonorrhea and syphilis, and because the older people. You know, they figure they don't have to use any protection because, you know. And, I mean, this is true. This is not a fallacy.
Well, you know, Grandpa, thanks. I really think that Viagra changed the world. I really do. I think it's totally disrupted the generational balance. It's made older men, keeping them in play, has made competition for younger women more intense between people, you know, young men of the same age. You get an older guy, he's got more money, he can still get it up. You know, I think that it's been one of the most disruptive medical breakthroughs in recent time, according to me. That's the way I see human history. I don't say negative. It's just been disruptive. It has totally used to be, you know, once you reach a certain age, you were out of play.
Right.
I mean, just physically, biologically, physiologically. Now that's not the same anymore. And now if you're going to have ladies taking this little pink pill, I wonder if it's really going to catch. We'll talk about that later with the experts. Now we're talking about Hillary. Why is Hillary being treated so differently when it comes to age? She is younger than Donald Trump. She's younger than her husband, whose birthday we're celebrating today, which made me think of this topic from the get-go. She's younger than George W. Bush. Why is it that Hillary is really being scrutinized so intensely? Based on her age, is that what it really is? All right, I get so many calls. I delighted 866. Let me get Ken in here from New Jersey. What's up, Ken? What are you thinking about?
Well, I love your brother, but I smell poo poo. Guys like you were part of the problem.
How so?
You were pretty good swordsman in your day, and I don't know how old your wife is. I imagine she's much younger than you.
She's 40 years old. Like today, this was her birthday year, 40.
Okay, so 32 years different. So it's almost like George Washington giving his slaves freedom the day after he died. You know, it didn't send much of a message, you know. So now that you've got past your prime a little bit, you settle down and you're...
12 years, just really celebrated my 12th anniversary, happily, monogamously.
Right. I know what a good dad you are, and I know it from people that have told me over the years.
Thank you.
And me and you, we've spoken before, and we bumped into each other overseas. But you were, you know...
Okay, I got it. You got it. You nailed me. I stand justly accused.
See women with your ears. Okay. See women with your ears, and you'll always be better off.
Okay, right. All right, it's true, but let's not... we're not talking about me. We're talking about Hillary today, although everything is fair game and everybody is welcome. Sisters doing it for themselves, Aretha Franklin, Annie Lennox. They better do something because Hillary appears to be fading. I don't think that there is any substance to that email scandal, but it is wearing at her. That is wearing at her, just people responding to her in a very negative way. And the biggest headline, I'm going to get to you to your questions and comments about why she's treated so differently based on her age, since she is younger. She's actually younger than her husband, Bill Clinton, whose birthday we celebrate today, which is what gave me the idea. He's 69. George W. is 69. Donald Trump is 69. Hillary, 67. She'll be 68 in October. And yet she's the one that gets the whole old hag thing. So we're talking about that uneven treatment. We're talking also about the little pink pill, which will rival the little blue pill, maybe. I have a little pink pill, a female Viagra. We'll talk about that at the top of the hour with some experts and your calls on that. But to me, the headline of the day is this poll out, another poll. I mean, I know how long ahead of time we are, how far ahead of time we are talking about the presidential race, but it is interesting and instructive to me that for the first time, a CNN poll is now showing that Donald Trump is just 6 points behind Hillary nationally. He was 16 points behind her in July. Now he's just 6 points behind her, 51 to 45 in a national race. Now, I'll tell you why that's instructive, and I'll get to your calls momentarily. I was with Michael Grimm yesterday, Congressman Michael Grimm, who, as you know, has pled guilty, this trumped-up charge, horrible. People of Staten Island voted him despite the indictment because they knew, like I knew, that that was just a whole railroad job they did on Michael Trump, Michael Grimm, rather. But I was talking to Michael Grimm politically, and he says, how does Trump win? I mean, you add it up. He talked about how, and I'm not telling tales out of school, how he met with Guy Molinari, the legendary Staten Island Republican, father of Susan Molinari, like former congresswoman there, but how he met with Guy Molinari when he was just a candidate, just an FBI agent, saying he wanted to run for Congress from Staten Island. He said, here, you got this, you got the veterans, they'll vote for me, hopefully. You got all law enforcement, you got firefighters, you got first responders. Grimm was not only a war hero, but also a first responder on 9/11, and a hero undercover. So what Michael Grimm did when he ran, and what politicians do generally, is they just do the arithmetic. Who's going to vote for you? Who's not going to vote for you? He said, look at Trump. Who's going to vote for him? Who's not going to vote for him? You're not going to get the Latinos, obviously, with this harsh, and I'll talk about that as the weeks unfold. I mean, I believe that this whole move to undo the 14th Amendment, all that's crazy. But so Latinos aren't going to vote for Trump. Asians aren't going to vote for Trump. Jews probably aren't going to vote for Trump. Black people certainly won't vote for Trump. So in Congressman Grimm's opinion, there are other candidates more likely to generate kind of the national appeal draw necessary to beat a Democrat in a tough situation, and that Trump is least likely, least able to do that. And yet now you have the CNN poll, why I bring it up, where Clinton leads Trump, yes, but only 51 to 45, just by 6 points. That is a dramatic tightening of the race, in the words of the CNN ORC pollsters, a dramatic tightening. So what is it? What's going on? And again, I'd like to stick, if I can, to the fact that she's being treated in some ways in a very negative way. When's the last time you saw a positive story about Hillary Clinton? I can't even remember.
Been a while.
Okay, here is Chris in New York on 866 Geraldo. What's on your mind, buddy? Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you? I don't understand why. Well, I do kind of understand why you're constantly defending Hillary. You say there's nothing to the email scandal. You said there was nothing with Holder, with the gun running. There's nothing with the IRS going after Tea Party candidates. You don't understand. It's all they were all one big party. Obama and Hillary. They were working on the same team.
You know, I don't mean to interrupt you. Just one point. In all of those cases you mentioned, Fast and Furious, IRS, you didn't mention Benghazi, you could have. I mean, then nobody arrested, nobody indicted, never any criminal charges. It was just a bunch of political BS. I got no problem with politicians being politicians. I am irked, however, when people like Trey Gowdy or even more egregiously Daryl Issa on the Oversight Committee in the House of Representatives, when these Republican hatchet men pretend to be sober probers for the truth. It's all politics. And this is politics, too. But go ahead, Chris.
Why did Hillary scrub her server? Why did she do that?
Because there's embarrassing crap on it, I'm sure.
No, there wasn't. Geraldo, you're in denial. I listen to you every day. I never agree with you on anything. That's why I'm confident. When you say something, I know it's not going to happen. But that's fine. I'm listening. That's all the sponsors care about. I listen to you.
You sound smart, too. So that's it. That counts.
Benghazi was real. The IRS.
What was real? Was there a stand down order in Benghazi? Did President Obama play when Americans died the way they? I mean, is that
where was he when this was happening? Why did they blame it on a fake porn with Muslims? Why?
The main thing is, did President Obama do everything he could militarily to save our people in Benghazi? I don't even want to go to Benghazi.
No.
Well, you're wrong about that.
You don't leave your buddies behind.
You're wrong about that.
Why am I wrong? Because
you've had seven House hearings and Senate hearings that have said you're wrong about it. How many do you need? 70? 700? I mean, how many? You're never going to convince. It doesn't matter what the truth is. You hate them. That's okay. I get that. I get that.
You're right. It doesn't matter what the truth is. That's your premise there.
All right.
Okay.
Tariq in Stony Point. What's up, Tariq? Hello, Tariq. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. What's up, buddy? What are you thinking about?
Well, I just wanted to say I love the fact that you defend yourself on Fox. They don't take any stuff from
them. Okay, thanks.
And just really two comments. One of them, I'm not worried about anything regarding Hillary. She's going to win. Trump is giving her a little scare and stuff like that. But just the mere fact that Sanders has so many followers that it's going to be almost an automatic election for her, because everybody that's following Sanders is going to vote for her. That's number one. Number two, and regarding this Viagra,
yeah,
a lot of people don't know that the FDA shot down that pill for women, Viagra, 2 to 3 times. And isn't it funny now that all of a sudden they've approved it? You know, really.
So, okay, what's your conspiracy theory? What are you thinking about? You're right that they did turn it down twice before.
Yeah, I think the FDA is a little shady. And I've actually always thought that. So when I heard it yesterday, it didn't surprise me whatsoever.
I think you may be right. The FDA clearly caved to pressure from the women's movement because the drug was at best, in the words of the New York Times reporter Andrew Pollack here, at best minimally effective, could cause side effects like low blood pressure, fainting, nausea, dizziness, and sleepiness. What good is rousing a woman's libido if you make her fall asleep? But they did approve it. They're committed, they say, to supporting the development of safe and effective treatments for female sexual dysfunction. We'll talk about it. But, Tariq, thanks for the call. Smart call. Even the other guy was a smart caller. He just was a jerk. Hi, Bobby, Lower East Side. What's up?
You know, I was calling you because I finally agree with you. This thing about Hillary with the Benghazi thing, nothing to it. There was nothing there. The emails, there's nothing there. They're just going after her. But guess what? This is perfect for Hillary, because when you look at her, when she was Secretary of State, there was nothing there. When she was senator, there was nothing there. She did nothing. As a first lady, nothing, okay? She got fired from the Watergate thing because she lied. So this is like the perfect Seinfeld candidacy. It's about nothing. She didn't do nothing. She's never done anything. It's Seinfeld candidacy.
You know, but that's such a smart call. Bobby, thanks. That's so smart, because that's the way you really should attack her. That's the way. Instead of making up this phony stuff. Just that, what did she do as Secretary of State? How good a Secretary of State was she? How good a senator from New York State was she? What has she accomplished? What are the show me the monuments to her tenure in office of any of those very high-profile jobs. I mean, is the world better off as a result of her tenure as Secretary of State? Is New York State better off as a result of her tenure? You know, how good was she as a first lady? Was she one of the greats? Did she clean up the highways? Did she bring attention to women's causes? Did she fund this charity or that charity? That's the way to attack her. That's a legit way to do it. That's the way you do it if she was a man. Not that she's an old hag and she annoys you. But that's the way it is. And Stanford, Lee is on the line. Hi, Lee. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Geraldo.
What's on your mind, bud?
You know, the only thing is, I said to your call screener, who's a really menschy guy, that I had to almost pull over. I come from a family where some people spend careers in the Justice Department, and if they are listening to this, they're going to kick my ass.
Uh-oh.
But the bottom line is that, you know, people are drinking this whole Kool-Aid thing about Hillary, and what's on those tapes is unknowable right now. But the whole process by which the FBI has come to look at the server and why it wasn't kept correctly,
that's going to be the biggest thing that's going to take her down. It's not even going to be, you know, these people say that the one thing that everyone is drilled in, and this is what their job was, how to keep sensitive information, how to deal with it, et cetera. She seems to have broken those rules. There wouldn't be such a investigation going on right
but
now.
But to what effect, though, Lee? Where is America worse off? He had Edward Snowden, for instance. He gave away all the secrets of the NSA. He went to China. He went to Russia. And he's damaged American security Hillary talked to staffers. I mean, what do you think? She was like sending emails to Putin? I mean, what is this thing about?
That's the point. We don't know. Why did someone try to protect these things like a mother grizzly for so long, saying they're never going to see him, get him, or whatever, and now all of a sudden it's her idea? She's being advised.
You give
legally,
me in your worst nightmare, give me one example of what it is that you're actually afraid of.
I'm not afraid of anything because I don't think she's fit to run, but I think that people are afraid of the fact that if she can handle classified information or be the Secretary of State and decide to run her own sort of parallel communication system, that does not bode well on the rest of the country.
What's the impact? How does it affect you? How does it affect me? How does it affect anybody listening right now?
That she had
her own parallel communication.
With all the other countries that are hacking and eating our lunch in doing that, if her stuff wasn't secured properly, we know that every day the Secretary of State gets very sensitive things. So if it's a lot easier for them to get to her stuff than perhaps government secured stuff, yeah, that bothers me as an American, and it should bother you too.
It doesn't bother me because I don't know how I am in any way, but I appreciate your smart call. Thanks, Lee. I don't know how I'm negatively impacted in any way. I just want to give the ladies a heads up. We'd really like to hear from you when we go to, later on in the show to this whole female Viagra and whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. I hear Chloe Louise writes me, Geraldo, I've been waiting for Hillary forever. I think she is smart and beautiful, and I know she works very hard. My 98-year-old mother said she'll certainly do as good a job as any of those men. It's time for Hillary and girl power. Hillary, girl for Eric, ever. But Paul Reed writes, Hillary's private server and commingling of private and U.S. State Department business shows extremely bad judgment. Hillary did not copy these emails by sending them to the State Department server. Her desire to be secretive puts her run for the presidency above the openness as a public official. So Paul Reed is against her sending those emails. What do you think?
What's the guy's name?
Sunshiny day. It's gonna be bright, bright, sunshiny day.
That's not Carly Simon. That's Johnny Nash. His birthday. How old is he, Chris? He's 69 also.
Wow.
Or today is the day of the 69ers. Bill Clinton, appropriately, his birthday today. George W. Bush is also 69, not today, but he is 69. Donald Trump is also 69. Hillary Clinton, just 67. And yet, her age is weighing more heavily on her in terms of politics than it is on the guys. Why is that? I think it's very unfair, but it is what it is. In terms of equality, though, women getting even in another way, they're getting their own Viagra. I mean, it works differently. Viagra is a physical, you know, it increases the blood supply to your part there. With women, it's different. It's the sexual dysfunction is being treated in terms of the libido. It's not a physical fix for women who feel they have sexual dysfunction. It is a libido. It is a mind altering. It's, I guess, like ecstasy or, you know, one of those kinds of drugs. It gets them more in the mood, and that's on the market, and we'll hear more from the experts as this hour, the second hour of the big show today, goes forward. I want to hear from you ladies when we do direct our attention there. But why is Hillary not getting the kind of equal treatment when it comes chronologically to how long she's been on the planet. In her view, and you may disagree with me on this, but it seems to me that people see her and say, oh, my God, she's old and this and that. And you don't hear the same thing from Trump or even these other, you know. I guess with Bill Clinton, people are mentioning his age more now. He seems to be kind of wearing down. I don't know. What was his physical problem?
I don't know, but he's been a vegan for a long time, and that makes him look a lot better than he used to anyway.
Okay, this is Dr. Tess Mauricio. She's a doctor, obviously, a pioneer of the O shot. I'm not sure exactly what the O shot is, but Dr. Mauricio is a best-selling author of California Total Beauty, and we welcome her to the show. Hi, Doc.
Hi, Araldo.
So what are you thinking about the little pink pill? You think it's going to be a revolution?
I don't know. I mean, I'm even having a problem, everybody calling it the female Viagra, because, you know, flibanserin, or the trade name is Addy, is really an antidepressant drug, what we call the SSRI, which is a selective serotonin receptor inhibitor. You know, you've heard of Prozac, Zoloft, you know, Celexa, Lexapro. It's in that same category of drug. And, you know, unlike Viagra, where men can take it an hour before they need it, you know, this medication, Addy, you know, the women have to take it at least 4 weeks before. And, you know, hoping for maybe one or two added sexual, you know, satisfying sexual experience in 1 month.
Oh, so that's a pretty big lead time. I mean, that's not exactly spontaneous sex.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, obviously there is a need for something like this. About 10% of women do experience low sexual desire. There is an actual condition called hypoactive sexual desire disorder, which Addy is supposed to be a treatment for. And, you know, Addy has also been rejected by the FDA 2 times. It was approved yesterday, but it's gone through the FDA 2 times and was rejected.
Well, let me get down to brass tacks here. Dr. Tess Mauricio is my guest, the best-selling author of California Total Beauty. We're talking about the so-called female Viagra. Do you think, I mean, you've given the limitations, and I get it. You worry about some aspects of it, and there is this fact that you've got to take it so far ahead of time. It's to generally change your mood, I guess. Do you think that this is a game changer? And by that, I mean, putting aside your personal misgivings about the little pink pill, do you think it's going to be popular? And do you think a lot of women are going to try to use it at changing their libido?
I don't believe so. I don't think it's going to be a game changer like Viagra. I mean, you know, there's so many contraindications. 10 to 15% of women that were studied experienced dizziness, fatigue, drowsiness. You cannot be on, first of all, this is only for premenopausal women. So these are, you know, the younger, you know, women who are experiencing the hypoactive sexual desire disorder. They cannot be taking any alcohol at all during the time they're taking it, because you will increase the risk for dizziness and fainting. And also even birth control pills can increase that risk for dizziness and fainting. You know, and only in their study, only 8 to 13% of the women experience much improved sexual desire. So, I mean, if it was me, I wouldn't take it. You know, it's one of those things that we're basically having Viagra, which is a targeted effect. You're increasing blood flow to the anatomy that is needed for, you know, sexual function, versus this, we are altering a patient's neurochemistry of their brain. It's a global systemic effect, which is why we're worried about these real systemic potential side effects.
Wow. Okay, Dr. Tess Mauricio, way to throw ice water on my... I was going to be, just thinking of all these guys bringing pink pills around.
Let me tell you about something that I think is even more exciting, which is the O-shot. O-shot.
What is an O-shot? What is that? Oh, O-shot, for orgasm. O-shot. I got that, but
orgasm.
What is it?
It's basically, you know, we use the patient's growth factor, and I don't know if you've heard of the vampire facelift. We use platelet-rich plasma. We collect the patient's blood. We spin out the red blood cells to collect the platelet-rich plasma, which contains growth factors. We inject it, in the anatomy that is, you know, basically in the areas that are affected.
You mean you put it in the vagina?
Exactly. Just in the right place. And I have been, you know.
Oh, the clitoris?
The clitoris, we inject an area basically below the urethra. We inject the labia. And, you know, this is targeted treatment of the areas.
That doesn't sound very spontaneous either.
Well, it's not fun. I know, women, we really do have it harder than men.
You definitely do. But Dr. Mauricio, I appreciate it. Good luck with the O-shots. I have no problem with them at all.
But
thanks very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. You know, wow.
Really, jeez.
That's a rough way to go just to get it up for a night.
You got to wait a month. I'm circling the calendar, though, for September 19th. I'm going to get some action that day. It's a month from now. So.
Vince in New Jersey. Thanks for calling, Vince. What's on your mind? Hello, Vince.
That Bill Clinton was younger than you. You're in much better shape than him, physically and mentally.
I am. I am indeed in much better shape than the former president. I think he was sick for a while. Didn't he have some, was it a heart thing or something?
Well, he's always had the heart issues, yeah.
Heart, yeah. That's from eating all those cheeseburgers.
But he's been so healthy for so long now.
Yeah, true. You mean in terms of being a vegan and
yeah,
all that?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's another thing. If you've been a meat eater your whole life and you go and you're suddenly a vegetarian or a vegan, I mean, you can't tell me that that doesn't affect your physical well-being. But anyway, Vince, what's on your mind?
Okay, two points. The pink pill and the treatment of Hillary.
Go ahead.
But first on the pink pill, I really think that this whole pink pill is the new condom issue for the election. The Democrats aren't going to talk about the economy. They're not going to talk about jobs. They're not going to talk about ISIS. They're going to talk about the pink pill. So that's my theory on that. But getting into this treatment with Hillary, because, I mean, especially after you had your doctor on that's really explaining, I don't think that the FDA was holding it back because, you know, there was some connection. I think they were really holding it back for legitimate reasons when you hear what she had to say. And that's a doctor. That's not a theoretician or a politician.
I agree.
So I'm glad you put her on there because it really clears up a lot. But getting into the treatment of Hillary, let's go and compare the treatment of Hillary and Donald Trump. I'm not a Trump supporter. I will vote for him, but I support Ted Cruz, Ben Carson, or Carly in the primary, one of those three. But if you look at what Megyn Kelly did, let's reverse that. And let's say, okay, Megyn Kelly has Hillary Clinton. She's never had to deal with what Republicans have to deal with. Let's go and say, all right, Mrs. Clinton, you know, we have Paula Jones. We have this one. There's tons of them. And you called them bimbo eruptions. You've had names for them. Carville called them, you know, trailer trash. How are you going to fight this war on women now with the perception of your husband being accused of rape? You know, nobody's ever asked her that.
So you're saying is you want Megyn Kelly, my dear friend and colleague, you want Megyn to be as rough in the same kind of way
Absolutely.
That she was with Trump,
so,
with Hillary.
I mean, you're saying that Trump gets unfair treatment basically in the other way, and I think it's not true. I think if you ask, and that's the point that Trump was trying to make, you know, ask whatever you want, but Megyn Kelly went into a whole assigning Donald Trump guilt before she even asked the question. She went into 20 minutes, all right, you're guilty of the war on women, you said this about women. She didn't get specific like Donald Trump did. Well, now, do that to Hillary. All they're asking Hillary are specific questions about a potential,
Before I let you go, Morty, Bill, hang on, I'm going to come to you, but I've got to take a break. But before I let Vince go, what do you think about my premise that Hillary is being, her age is much more of an issue than it is with Trump or any of the other Republicans?
It's not her age. I mean, nobody looks at you. Look at your age. I just commented on your age. I mean, Bill Clinton looks like an old beat-up man. Hillary, I don't care what your physical age is. I mean, I even started off with that very comment, and I didn't even think you were going to ask this question. But Hillary, I mean, look at Margaret Thatcher. Nobody accused her of being an old woman. I mean, they had nicknames for her, but she conducted herself accordingly. Hillary is constantly, always accusing everybody else. I mean, I'm so fatigued over the Clintons. Fatigued, basically. Everybody accuses them. They're not guilty of anything. They've never done anything wrong. And even, you know, you even said that what have we seen that's wrong now with what Hillary did? We don't know. And it's the law. The point is she violated the law of handling.
Okay, I got you, Vince. And a very smart call, and I appreciate it, dude. Thanks. You know, smart people listen to this show. There's no doubt. I mean, you may disagree with me on this or that. But I appreciate the you know, your own sincerity and your intelligence. That's for sure. I wonder if watches are going to go out of style. You think with all the everyone's got a handheld device that tells the exact time?
Yeah, I mean, I still see plenty of people wearing watches.
I wonder if it's going to be like newspapers. They'd just be like, they'll be in the time capsule.
Well, but it's more of a fashion accessory. A newspaper isn't really a fashion accessory.
I guess that's true. Okay, so we're talking about Hillary. Most of you all don't like her, it's clear. And she is in the middle of this email scandal, which I don't think will amount to a hill of beans, but that's just me. It's my instinct. I don't know where it goes. I don't know what the sin is here. I understand how it's been seized on. I also understand how all these, the cumulative effect of all this noise, however substantive or unsubstantive, insubstantive, what's the word? In or un? I don't know.
Don't know.
Just a wearing down. And now Donald Trump in the first dramatic national poll surge now within 6 points of Hillary nationwide, despite everyone saying that he is unelectable in a national race. He's now, Hillary's got 51, Trump's got 45, so he's within the striking distance. Here's Morty in Jericho. Hey, Morty, thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for listening for a moment, Geraldo. It's always a pleasure. I have to tell you something. I'm near 80. I'm a native New Yorker, Brooklyn-born, and I have been an admirer of yours since you are a young man in your Willowbrook days. But lately, I have to tell you, I cannot fathom how a man with your journalistic credentials, your journalistic bones, can daily defend something that is indefensible. This is more about you than Hillary. Hillary is a nothing. She's never been anything. She is not a woman of accomplishment, as you like to call her. But that's another story. I don't think she's going to get the nomination. I don't think she's going to see the end of the year as a candidate because she's going to have to leave. She's broken every law. She's broken every sense of decency. She typifies what is politically wrong in America today. She's learned it from her husband, but he was smarter than she, and he could get away with it. She's the most venal, vicious politician we have today, and that says a lot because most of them stink.
Morty, tell me how you really feel.
I just cannot understand.
But why? What makes you so angry? I mean, you sound like an angry person. What makes you so angry?
I'm angry because she insults me. She thinks that she must have attended the Professor Gruber School of Civics up at MIT, and she.
Well, I gotta ask you some personal questions, Morty. Let me ask you. Have you ever voted for a Democrat?
Yes.
I mean, when was the last one? Just curious.
I voted for LBJ.
LBJ, that's 1964 against Barry Goldwater.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you regret that vote now?
No, I don't. I think LBJ could have been one.
Well,
of
the actually, you mentioned LBJ, and he beat Barry Goldwater. Barry Goldwater, much like Donald Trump, was accused of not having the temperament to be president. Remember, they had that ad with the little girl with the flower, and then the nuclear explosion.
Absolutely.
Do you think Donald Trump has the temperament to be president?
I think Donald Trump is smart enough to learn. I think he's smart enough to surround himself with the best people to do the job at hand. I would hope so anyhow.
Now let me ask you another question. I want to bring it back to the topic. Do you hate Hillary Clinton?
No, I don't hate anybody. There's too much hate in the world. Too many Jew haters, too many Yankee haters, too many haters in general.
I got you.
I sure as hell don't like her because she doesn't respect the people of this country, this blessed land that we live in, that has given so much.
Okay, Morty. Okay, Morty. I got it. Thank you for the call. Thank you. Man, that's an angry... angry guy. He doesn't hate her, but I don't know. Sounds like, I mean, what is it about her that I keep coming back to this? You know, people really, if you don't like Hillary, they tend to loathe her. I mean, it really is intense. When people don't like me, I don't get that vibe that they hate me. They don't like me. They kid or they joke about this or that. All right, Lorraine, let me see. Hi, Lorraine. Thank you for calling.
Yes. I just wanted to make a comment that I saw a tape of Hillary talking to reporters yesterday, avoiding and evading Ed Henry's questions. And she was so denigrating and dismissive, and she would take her thumb and put it up like actually wanted to give the middle finger to him. And, you know, there's a comic, Archie, and she reminds me of the old lady Miss Grundy. You know, that's why people think of her as so old, because she acts like an old hag.
Okay, Lorraine, I got it. Thank you very much for that. Interesting call coming from a lady, but it goes to my point. If you don't like Hillary, you tend to hate her with an intensity that I don't even feel that vibe about Trump. I don't even feel that the people like the pro-immigration people, he doesn't generate that kind of loathing. It's almost like, oh man, a nice guy and he's doing something so bad. If it was Hillary and they did want to lynch her. It really is fascinating to see. And she's not wearing well. It's not like she is charming us. The way Bernie Sanders is charming people, at least the younger set, Hillary is having the opposite impact. Chris said he danced at 14 different weddings to this song by Leanne Womack. It's been a hit, 4 different performers. It's her birthday, that's why we play it. I could just see me doing the kind of the wedding shuffle, dragging my bed foot.
With one foot? Do you dance in a circle because of that? Yeah. Just like round and around?
Kind of stuck in one place. Listen to this one from Hudson Wells. Geraldo, you are off the wall agreeing with the statement she made, quote, what difference does it make, end quote. Lies were involved. God forbid it was your family in Benghazi. That's what I said. Your attitude would be a little different. I'm hoping you're promoting shock radio to increase your ratings. Supporting the Clintons, murderers, rapists, and liars only diminishes your credibility. Shame on you. Clintons, murderers, rapists, liars. I mean, that's what they're up against. I mean, that's the sentiment. I mean, we're only getting a handful of callers, but a lot of them are calling just to yell at me for saying anything positive about the Clintons at all. Anything. There is a hatred of the Clintons that is unmatched in any other political personality in any stage. Nobody feels this way about anybody but the Clintons.
No.
And she is taking, it's like the sins of the husband are on her. Everything, anything bad that ever, if you hate Obama, it's all on her. It's all on her. It's all on her. It's so unfair. It is absolutely unfair. The fact is, Benghazi was the biggest hit job that I can recall. The whole story of the stand down order, that a stand down order was given, that we could have rescued those people and we chose not to for whatever political reason or negligence or incompetence, is such a fake story. It is such a damn lie that it makes me crazy. 7 hearings in the House and Senate, and still, people can write this. God forbid it was your family in Benghazi, writes Hudson Wells. It is so grossly, grotesquely unfair. And no one's apologized for it. No one's apologized. It is, you want to attack Hillary Clinton? There's a million legit ways to do it. Her tenure as Secretary of State, what did she accomplish? How was she as First Lady? What about as Senator from? There's a million substantive ways to attack her. But to use the old hag approach, which is what I'm talking about mainly today, or bring up this. I mean, doesn't real life matter to Hudson Wells and the Hudson Wellses of the world? Stan in Forest Hills, what's up, man?
My friend, I'm one who agrees with you 1,000%.
Well, that makes you very rare.
Should have your head examined.
The vehement people. What can they do? They can't give her anything because she hasn't done anything. You are absolutely right about Benghazi. They've done it 18 times. How many? I mean, and still nothing. They can't stand her, not just because she's a woman, because she's been successful as a woman. That's the key. And believe me, women, as like a volcano, are watching this, and they're going to see how she's going to be treated, and they will vote. I think they will vote, absolutely.
I think that, you know, if they're going to make their move, they better start speaking up now, or she's going to be so beaten down that she'll... What do you think of Bernie Sanders there?
You know, you got to give him another. He's coming up tremendously, but he's also Gene McCarthy. If you remember Eugene McCarthy,
of course, I lived through it. 1968. I remember it so well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And then when Gene McCarthy beat Bobby Kennedy in Oregon, I think it was in Oregon.
That's correct.
And
that's correct.
You know, he was. It was amazing how motivated the anti-war people, the civil rights people were. And then Kennedy got murdered in that hotel in Los Angeles, and then it was all downhill from there. But Gene McCarthy, I think he's more like Ron Paul.
He's going to win some states, and she's going to lose states. But overall, I think she will get the nomination. Absolutely.
Will she beat Trump?
When we start hearing, look, are we going to vote for a guy who builds ice skating rings or condominium apartments? Is that his truth? Is that the success we need? I don't think so.
If that's your biggest beef with him, I think he's got a shot. I mean, because I think, and thanks again, I think that competence as a developer, you know, you can poo-poo it. I believe that competence is transferable. Temperament, not necessarily. Although I believe that the office is so humbling in terms of the power that it tends to moderate everybody. Look at Richard Nixon. I mean, aside from Watergate, I think he was a pretty good president, and people thought he was going to be a nut job. But he, you know, there's a soberness that comes with the majesty of the office. And I think in some ways, Trump will be treated less regally as president than he is as mogul, as billionaire mogul. And I think that it is directly transferable. I mean, look at the bridges that need rebuilding, the tunnels that need rebuilding, the highways. You know, my idea, just to give you a little a divergence here, two things. Number one, the Trump immigration plan, however odious I believe it to be, with Trump now saying that he wants to, you know, when we get these smart foreign kids to come to our great colleges, they get admitted to Harvard or Penn or any of the Ivy Leagues, and whatever it is, why do we then send them home because their visas as students expire? Those are the people we should keep, right? So Trump is making that point. It seems to be in conflict with the point, you know, his general plan that he published. But I think that's exactly, I want to harness that immigrant vigor. I think that's something that makes sense in terms of moderating immigration policy. Russia is shrinking. Nobody wants to go to Russia. The population is diminishing, getting older. They can't even support their own pensioners. You know, the people on their version of Social Security. And they're going to be fewer and fewer young Russians. Everybody wants to get out of there. I want those people. I want the high energy intellects. I want the next Google guy. I want to keep them. I forgot what my other point was. I'll think of it. Bill in Brooklyn. What's up, Bill?
Hey, can you hear me? I'm on speaker?
Yeah, no, Bill, you're on the air, buddy. What's up?
Okay. All right. First of all, it's not Hillary's age. She's an attractive woman. She just reminds me of the worst nightmare mother-in-law anybody could have.
I think that's true.
The second thing is if Hillary's president, she's going to show up with Bill. If Trump's president, look who he's going to show up.
Oh, that sounds sexist.
Come on.
Melania, the most gorgeous first lady ever. I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you. I mean, that would be quite a show. All right, let me just give you. I'm going to just give you a heads up. Imus, Imus has his golf tournament. We do it for charity. He does his, he's got a great, great cause. It benefits the Imus Ranch Foundation. 77WBC presenting the 8th annual Imus golf outing at the beautiful Edgewood Country Club, Rivervale, New Jersey. It's a terrific spot. Imus's golf outing is on Thursday, the 24th of September. He's going to be there with the entire crew, including a night of comedy with Rob Bartlett. The annual Imus Golf Outing benefits the Imus Ranch Foundation. All you have to do is log on to our website. You should see the website anyway, wabcradio.com, and you can register through the Imus website. And also, if you want to follow what's going on, you know, in my private life in a better or more explicit detail, That sounds dirty.
Will you post pictures? Or
yeah, right.
Have you got video out there, too?
Does
Erica know?
Anyway, check out Twitter or Facebook. But it's funny about, dirty pictures and everything. Thinking about the Subway sandwich guy. What's his name again? Fogel?
Jared Fogel.
I think that Subway, with that turkey bacon guacamole sandwich, that came out about the same time as that. That's a great product. $5. Turkey bacon guacamole. Delicious. I love it. I wonder if Jared Fogel, was he 400 pounds when he was doing those 16-year-olds?
Well, you can make an argument that he was the success behind the Subway sandwich chain.
But I'm going now about to the indictment about having sex with minors. Was he 400 pounds when he was doing it?
Oh, no.
Or was he already slimmed down and rich?
No. This is up until June of this past year, of 2015. Up until June, he was coming to two Midtown hotels, one of them being the Ritz-Carlton, to have sex with minors, with underage
women. But imagine
women.
The chutzpah that it takes. The guy checks in. Those people at the hotels know when a 16-year-old hooker or 17-year-old hooker shows up that she's not there for a school trip. You know, and then she has to see the room 719, which is Jared Fogel, the Subway guy. I mean, it's amazing that it never leaked out, unless that's where, how did the FBI track him down as a, you know, as a pervert?
Well, they initially went after his foundation, and he might have been sharing.
So his foundation was a pervert foundation?
Well, the person who was running his foundation, apparently he was trading videos with the person that was running his foundation.
Just a couple of minutes left. The Dow is tanking. Any reason it's down 215 points? Why?
Don't know.
What the hell? I don't get why it's selling off, why they're buying. I don't know anything. Apple, why did Apple drop so precipitously? Just because, I mean, the sales were great, profits were great, just because people don't like that that Apple Watch?
Well, I know the Dow China, there was bad news on the market in China today, so that could be what is affecting the
market. They started another run on the Chinese?
Yeah, so the Asian markets were all down overnight.
Let me squeeze one more Hillary caller in from Hicksville. James is online. Hey, James.
Yes, hey, how you doing? I just want to know, do you object to Trey Gowdy interrogating Mrs. Clinton?
I don't object to her being questioned at all. I mean, but it is interesting that you use the word interrogate. That's what a prosecutor does, interrogate.
Information that regards the
That's different than interview, though.
Oh, interview? No, I don't think he's for that purpose. He's looking for information to see if this is criminal things have occurred. That's what
you
I
mean in terms of the email. No, I think
email
that it's.
And,
I think it's terrific.
And all of her activities.
All right. Do you agree that no one's laid a glove on her so far?
I don't know what you mean. How you define no one's laid a glove?
I mean, has any substantive wrongdoing been found in anything that she's done?
Well, as far as the way all the answers to things Trey Gowdy has gotten from her would give me that indication, whether it's going to get to the actual authorities who have the responsibility of doing something about it, that's a whole other question in this world, because liberals are pervasive in the government.
That's true, but guilt or innocence, you would hope, is the same, you know, regardless of who the interrogator is. Thank you for the call, James. Another smart call, but you know, there's an assumption that she's guilty of something, and yet no one has found anything. I remember when we did the stories back in the 90s, Mena, Arkansas. Remember that? Where somebody died or was murdered. And Vince Foster, the White House, he killed himself. And nobody would believe that they weren't murderers, that the Clintons weren't murderers. I mean, the husband, the former president, was a philanderer. He's playing fast and loose with the ladies or taking too many private jets on foundation money. Maybe they all let. But I don't know anybody. Maybe he went to Orgy Island. I don't know. But I don't know anybody has found anything substantive that Hillary Clinton has ever done, any crime she's ever committed. And I will make this pronouncement. Absent the finding of criminal activity, which I do not believe exists, this whole thing is going nowhere. But you'll hear the noise for a long time.